And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren Donick and Chase Ademace here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Elijah Campbell also in the mix on the board at the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick for a while. Derek Mason, president accounted for. Chase McCabe, a.k.a. The Suit, not accounted for. Nowhere to be found.
He's doing suit things, man.
Suit duties today.
Yes, he's again. On suit duty. Hey, that's what happens, man. You
know? No, I know. I mean, I know he's kind of a big deal. So I'm just saying he's got suit duties. It is funny, D-Mace, how the suits think that, you know, like it bothers them that I say the suit. It's a term of infection. It's a term of infection. It's like a sore. No, that's not. Term of endearment.
Yeah, term
not of infection. Affection. It's going to be one of those shows.
Yeah. Hey, we're bound to have them, and then we turn them into great shows. So, oh, what the heck?
It's a term of infection. They're like a sore. No, man. That's not
no,
what I meant.
No, you don't want that. You don't
no,
want that. Not at all.
Term of endearment.
Yes.
It's with love.
Mm-hmm.
Suits get so they get their suits all wrinkled in a wrinkle. When I say that, it's okay. It's just a term of affection, infection.
I just don't think he's gotten because you. This is what happens, and I think we've all seen it. Whether it be, you know, the assistant, you know, the receivers coach going from receivers coach to offensive coordinator, or coordinator going to head coach, or you know, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. You've seen it where they move up and they still feel a little awkward, you know, when things are said because they still want to be a part of the crew, but they know they have
yeah,
to kind of be
point.
By themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's Chase, man. He's still getting used
to
it.
He's in that weird spot
yeah,
right now?
Yeah, he's in that weird spot because he wants to be with the guys, and he
right.
is one of the guys, but he also – you know, he's with the suits, too.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
know.
And he
they eat at nice restaurants
exactly.
for lunch. And they go out to dinner.
And they don't have as
drink.
Much fun.
Yeah, they
they don't have as much fun. They don't
they
laugh
get better
as much.
Meals.
Exactly.
And, you know, they get drinks, free drinks. But they don't have as much fun.
Exactly.
As we do. You're right. That is a really good point, D-Mace. So he's in that weird spot.
Yeah, he's still getting used to it. You know,
yeah.
he's getting used to it, man. You know, he don't, he's kind of like the, you know, do I shake your hand or do I fist pump or what did I do to my hands when
right,
I'm doing an interview?
Right, I've been there, but
yeah,
I wasn't
yeah.
a suit, but I've been there.
Yeah. It's, see, it's you know awkward. The feeling.
Yeah, look, I don't care what Mike Vrabel says. I know he doesn't understand titles, but we do understand titles, and it is a big deal. So
exactly.
we're going to make a big deal about Chase being a suit. Mike Vrabel doesn't understand why people have titles, which, you know, I guess then over there they all get paid the same if nobody has titles. But
exactly.
I guess here we do have titles, and, mm-hmm. you know, we're proud. He's a suit. And like I said, that's a term of endearment. Like, don't get your suit all in a wrinkle when
yeah.
you hear me say that. The suits get all – they get all, you know, weird
if,
about it.
If
they
we didn't, if we didn't
antsy.
Love you, we wouldn't have made up a nickname for
right.
you.
Right. We wouldn't be talking about
exactly.
you, right?
Exactly. We were like, good riddance. See ya. You know, finally got him out of the crew.
Thank goodness.
He's gone. But we love Chase. And you got that's the way to keep him in the fold, you know? Keep him in the fold like that.
I thought your example was spot on. It really is. I think he's in that just – weird spot. Like, he wants to hang, he wants to be with the boys, but he knows that he's out getting nice lunches, nice free lunches that comes with being a suit. You probably get a nice dinner, you definitely
yeah.
get some free drinks yeah. in the nighttime hours. So there are perks, but you don't have as much fun. There's
he's,
no doubt
he's the guy that the nice restaurant is on one side of the street, and then the $2 beers is on the other, and he's having his drink, but he's looking across, and we're just jamming. We're having fun, and he's just slowly drinking his
we're
drink.
We're on the right shoulder.
Exactly.
And he's got the other one on the left shoulder. We're on the right shoulder. Chase! Maccababe, come on over!
Big Chase, come on!
Shots! Chase, come on over! What are you doing? What? A meeting? Come on over. We're having a meeting over here. Shots.
But we still love him, and we want him to come. It doesn't matter to us, you know, but he feels kind of, you know, do I go across the street and have, you know, 25-cent wings and a brew? Or do I stay over here and have this medium well steak with a shot that costs, you know, about $50?
Top shelf bourbon.
Yeah, exactly.
As a sipper.
Exactly. He wants the top shelf, but he also wants to go over there to that 50-cent, that 25-cent wing.
See, he's in that stage now, but what happens is over time, like in 6 months, we'll see him like, Jace. He's going to be like, good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
How do you know?
What I mean? He's going to be very serious. Like, good morning. Fellas, good morning. Have a great show. Thank you. Good to see you. Good morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Would you guys like anything from the lounge? Good morning.
Start greeting with handshakes.
Yes, handshakes.
If he starts greeting us with handshakes, yeah, it's over. Yeah. If he starts, you know, as soon as you walk through the door, he sticks his arm out for the handshake, yeah, it's over. Yeah, yeah, yep. He's officially crossed over. The door's closed. No more.
We are off and running. We got a lot of things to get into today. We're actually talking a little hoops with Dane Bradshaw in the second hour. Looking forward to that from SEC Network. Of course, former Vol, Tennessee got it done last night. Nice road win in Columbia, Missouri over the Tigers. They beat them up. Vanderbilt lost a tough one at home to Alabama. They were up 5 at the half. And as Jerry Stackhouse said, they didn't exactly execute down the stretch or at the end of the game. So, and of course, Belmont, we talked to Casey Alexander. They've got a huge tilt tomorrow night. So we'll get into all things college hoops with Dane Bradshaw in the second hour.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Of course, Tennessee, Dane Bradshaw is the perfect guy to talk about. Tennessee's got Auburn coming to town on Saturday. Mm. That's going to be a great game.
You think Dane knows anything about that?
I think he's got some pretty good insight
probably
on that.
Probably so.
And, you know, if you didn't see the Vanderbilt game, of course, I didn't watch it start to finish. I went back through it some this morning. My son was at the game, but they were up at the half, but they also were down by 11 with about 6 minutes to go, got it back, and Scottie Pippen missed the free throw that would have tied the game with about a minute left. And then, you know, what I did get to see live, it was a really bizarre ending to the game where it was basically a free throw shooting contest back and forth. And to Alabama's credit, they made every free throw to stay ahead, and Vanderbilt missed the layup. Mm-hmm. You know, not an uncontested layup, but a good drive by Jordan Wright that rimmed out. I mean, just sat there on the rim and then rolled off. That would have tied the game with 5 seconds left. So it was a really good game. Unfortunately for Vanderbilt, you know, not quite enough to get it done. Unfortunately, the complimentary players just not there last night. Not enough production to beat a good team like Alabama. So Alabama earned a good road win.
Yep, they did. They needed that after losing to Kentucky in Rupp on Saturday, looking to rebound. Because, you know, you lose that game last night, and all of a sudden people are talking about, like, Alabama's going the wrong way, right, down the stretch. So
that
was a big win for them. Sonny on our text line, which is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, a lot of people are concerned about Chase the suit. Sonny wants to know, does this mean Chase's Broadway career is over now that he's a suit?
Hmm. That's a great question.
That's a really good question, Sonny.
I think it's where he goes on Broadway. You know, and just listening to you guys, I think, you know, he may not be able to go to just, you know, any place on Legends Corner there.
He'll probably drift over to the Palm.
You
know what I mean?
He's got to be in a certain area of Tootsie's, you know, kind of away from
upstairs.
He has a lounge.
Got to be maybe upstairs, a certain floor, kind
of
corner.
Back,
you know,
it's roped off.
Roped off area. Yeah. Roped off area for sure. Yep. You got to have somebody bringing him drinks. You know, he doesn't have to go to the bar. You know, Mr. McCain, saddle up and kind of arm, you know, kind of stiff arm your way to the bar to get the bartenders in. He doesn't have to do that anymore. He's in a roped off area. He's got somebody come. Mr. McCabe, can I help you?
Here's the question.
What can I get you?
This is when we know. Let me just tell you guys this right now. This is when we know Chase is officially transformed into a suit. When people start calling him Charles, that's when we know he's right?
Wow.
Charles,
full fledged.
Table
full-fledged
of four. Charles McCabe. Table of four.
His party is always four or more.
Oh yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
and everybody has on a suit.
Yeah, the suits come in bulk.
Yeah.
I got to experience
being a
suit.
They're like Costco and Sam's Club, you know? They come in bulk.
Yeah. I got to experience being a suit very briefly one time. The 2011 playoffs, we went to a club in Anaheim. The Predators were playing the Ducks. And this was right at the beginning when the new ownership group took over. I was with Wade Bielak, the late Wade Bielak, who is
one of the
great people. May it rest in peace, but what an unbelievable character of the game. And so he knew people to get us into this really fancy club. And he walks up, and the music's blasting. It's pulsating. You know, it's nuts. It's an area that you're like, there's a long line to get in. And I'm like, I was with Bob Cole. So Bob and I are standing there going, this doesn't look good, man. We're not going to get into this place. Wade walks up to the guy, and then it turns around. We can't hear anything that's being said. He just motions us in. Come on in, guys.
And are you telling me Bob Cole couldn't do that? Like, Wade had to do that? Bob couldn't with his pool?
Well, you would think that Bob maybe would have that pull, but Wade just took over, and the next thing you know, we're walking back. Wade Bielak had told the guy that we were two of the new ownership group members. They just bought the Predators. So the next thing you know, Bob and I are on couches, and we're in a roped-off area, and we had the waitresses coming up with trays saying, wait, can I get you guys anything? We had no idea what he said until we left the bar. He says, you know what? I told them you guys are part of the new ownership group. I was like, oh,
wow,
okay.
For a brief minute, you owned the Predators, huh?
That's right. So we got to experience the life of the suit. Yep, we got the life of the suit.
Look at the perks. Yep. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, you would have been William. If you would have stayed in that mode, you would have become William. William Donick.
Yep. That's right. That's right. It was only short-lived. I turned into a pumpkin at midnight, though.
But it felt good, didn't it?
It did feel good for a little bit. Good. It felt good.
Oh, let me just tell you, I've had the suit treatment. It does feel good, man.
Feels good, man.
It's very tempting.
So Chase has a lot to look forward to. You take the good with the bad. We laid it out for him, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, though, when you hear somebody go, hey, Charles, are you going for lunch? Charles, are we still going? Are we still on for lunch? That's when you know, wow, the transformation has happened. Phil in Kentucky on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The writing is on the wall. McCabe is too busy for the on-air work these days. We will miss him, but he's got one foot out the door. Let's just go on and rename the show 3D. Darren, Donick, and Derek.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
There you go.
Dude, I feel like we should have taps. When I was reading that, we should have had taps
in
the background.
Yeah, we should have had a moment of silence.
21-gun salute.
Y'all gonna make Chase take off his tie. Just take off the tie and come here without a tie. See, I'm not fully a suit yet. Not yet.
Actually, he'll have the tie around his forehead. It'll be like a headband.
Oh, man.
People are very concerned.
Because he's in that weird place. And we've all seen people in that weird place, you know. And it takes them a minute to get used to it. And, hey, we still love you, Chase. We still love you.
SL in Knoxville. Sounds like you have officially packed your suit, Chase. Thanks. I'm here all week.
Nice.
On that note, we will head to the break. We'll come back. We'll talk about that big Predators victory last night down in Sunrise, Florida. A lot to get to on the show today. By the way, Tim Hasselbeck at High Noon. We'll have Robbie Stanley on. I'm going to ask him a really cool question that I just thought of yesterday that we were kind of tossing around on pregame. So we'll get into all that stuff with Robbie in the final hour. More of the DDC next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Last night in Sunrise, Florida, Predators erased a four-game losing streak with beating the best home team in the league and the team that scores the most. Pretty unbelievable. Now, I'm going to go on and do this. Typically, I don't do this, but I'm going to go on and let you know. We are going to give away tickets to see Train before you can even buy those tickets at Ascend Amphitheater this hour. We're going to do that. That show is going to be on June 21st with special guest Jewel Blues Traveler Will Anderson. We're going to do that sometime this hour, and it's going to be a Preds question, okay? So I'm just going to go on and give you the heads up. You need to keep listening. Last night was a pretty monumental win. It was game 51 of the season. You're like, come on, man. 82 games. Really? Yeah. That was pretty significant. I think it was pretty significant to setting the tone for what is going to be the biggest week in their season. And to end the losing streak and to come back three times when behind against the best home team in the league. Now, listen to this, Derek. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this to you because Willie knows. He knows all this stuff. Florida, just to put it in perspective, they had played 26 home games going into last night's game. Their record was 23-3.
Hmm.
Just to put in perspective how good they are when I say they're the when I say they're the best team in the league at home, 23-3 is pretty unbelievable. And I don't know, Willie maybe can weigh in on this. I don't think it's because of they have this incredible, you know, college-like atmosphere there. They're just playing really good at home. And, oh, by the way, they're the highest scoring team in the league.
What is it, 4.5 a game?
Not quite. At home it is.
At home, yeah. At home,
at home it is. At home, yeah.
Yeah, it was 4.7 goals per game at home, which is a ridiculous number. 4.1 overall.
It was 4.12, I think, was their
overall
exact number.
That's overall.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. 4.7 at home.
Goodness gracious.
So they've just been terrorizing people down there.
I mean, but if you watch the whole game, you thought in the first period that it was, well, after the first period, they got up, 3-1, somewhere around there?
Yeah, halfway through the game,
you just thought,
3-1.
Man, this is going to be a long game. And then all of a sudden, you get two quick goals. And then it's like, okay, this is a game. And then they score again. And you figure, okay. But then the Preds, which I, as a former athlete, you like seeing that. You wish that it would just happen from the start, but you love to see a team battle it out when it seems like things are going away from them, getting away from them, and it just seemed like they just with each, you know, each up and down the ice, they just start chucking away. And then they got on this roll, and it was just like an avalanche for them. They just started scoring from every direction. And it was a delight to see, because they could have just packed it away and said, hey, listen, it is what it is. We're going home. You know, we have Pecorine's, you know, retirement and everything else. Let's get up for that game. But they didn't. They reached down deep, and they came out, and they played. Really, they outplayed Florida from the middle of the second period on.
I mean, I do have to say, I think that has to rank up there at this point as the biggest win of the year. I think all things considered, down 3-1, as you said, Derek, halfway through the game, you've got your backup goalie in there, and you're thinking, man, at any point, the Panthers just might rev it up, score a couple more, and just run you right out of the building like they have so many teams. I was reading the stats. You know, they've scored 5 or more 22 times. It's just, you know, you run out of different ways to say.
Wow.
Yeah, you've run out of ways to say how good they are. But
let me tell you, I saw a first last night, Willie. I've never seen this. I saw you know what the over-under was last night?
7.
Some places had it at 7.5. I've never seen
that
before.
Over. And it still went over.
Clearly. I've never seen 7.5. I've never seen 7.5 in a hockey game.
Yeah, that's that shows you, you know, what they do.
And it was now, the over. Amazing.
It was fairly easy. I think that was a good example of the Predators' mental toughness. You know, it's not like they dominated the game. You're not going to dominate the Panthers down there, but they made the plays. They found the way to win, and they did it with their backs to the wall. I'm hoping that this springboards them into, you know, more of a run of success, because it's scary, man. As we said a lot on our show and then during the broadcast last night, the cushion that they built before the All-Star break has dwindled a lot. It's whittled down. You know, you got a legit 10-11 team race for the 8 spots. And, you know, so Nashville's going to have to, you're going to have to get in the high 90s, I think, to get into the playoffs safely. So there's still a lot of work to do. We know from now on the schedule is going to rev up. It's going to be much more. There's not a lot of breaks anymore, so it's time to go. So I hope, that when we look back on this game, the bold move to throw David Riddick in there and say, you know what, I'm going to send a little jolt through the team. I'm going to say we've got to play our backup here. Our goalie needs a little rest mentally to try to fine-tune some things. We haven't played great in front of him. Let's go out there with David Riddick. And Riddick really responded. So that's that, I think, going forward is a big thing, too, his performance.
Yeah. When you're playing a team like Florida, you know they're going to score. But they're not a great defensive team. They're almost giving up 3 goals a game. So if you can just – it's almost like the Kansas City thing where you know Kansas mm-hmm. City is going to score points. If you can just hold on and score with them and get a few breaks at the end, then you can win.
But they're not atrocious.
They're not a bad – they're middle of the pack.
They're in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Well, because I was going to say the Stars, about
5 years ago, like they needed to score 6 a game because they were going to give up 4 or 5 every game. I mean, it was – they were awful. That you could score at will on them, but the problem is they were so good offensively that they could score at will too. And so they need. And yes, you're right, Derek. Florida is not great, but they're not. It's not like they're first in the league in scoring, last in the league, you know, goals against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're in the middle of the pack.
That's the talk down there. Is do they want to pick up an extra defenseman at the trade deadline? And the other thing is, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky, for whatever reason, Nashville's played well
really
against him overall.
Mm-hmm.
He's been much better this year, but I didn't think he was great last night. Nashville, they made some great plays. But I think ultimately for Florida, they're going to need the best of Bob because, you know, who's lurking? The team we're going to see on Saturday. You got Tampa down there. You got Boston in there. You got it's such a high level of team in the Eastern Conference. But a great win for Nashville. Now they'll come in with a little bit of confidence restored for the big ceremony tomorrow, and you've got a massive game against Dallas. What a huge game that's going to be. Wow, that is going to be great theater. They're going to be, I think, around the league, Thursday, Saturday. In fact, I already have seen it. There's some national media coming to town for 3 days, you know, to see these two games.
Yeah, I'll actually bring up something on the other side because it deserves our attention. It kind of reminded me of when the NFL draft was here and the bachelorette party was here, and they're like, what? Who? Nobody told us there was this thing going on. So I'll save that for after the break. But real quick, let's get Dylan, who's on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, wants to comment about last night's game. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Great win. I just wanted to ask, I was actually listening to the Florida broadcast, so I couldn't get Willie and Chris's analysis of it, but the goalie interference call. So it
why were you listening to the Florida broadcast?
Well, let's just say it may have been a sketchy website that I was streaming it on.
not admitting to any wrongdoing or anything. But
respect.
Yeah.
But anyways, so it looked like Bobrovsky kind of tried to fall backwards and cover the puck like with his back, and then they said, I believe, is it Cunning came in and pushed him
with the stick.
We're going to talk about this. So, Dylan, thanks for the call. We are definitely going to talk about this on the other side because I have my thoughts as well, and I definitely wanted to address this. So we'll get into all that stuff on the other side. But first, Willie, you're going to tell everybody about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company. 615-567-1000 or LeeCompany.com. Proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. And, yes, Bridgestone Arena will be in the spotlight tomorrow night, the jersey retirement ceremony for Pekka Rinne. It's going to be a full night, 7:30 start. The ceremony starts at 6. So remember, if you're going to the game, be there early and make sure you're in your seat prior to 6 o'clock because you're not going to want to miss everything that happens. You'll see when you come down to Bridgestone Arena the display that Lee Company has. They're a big sponsor. And they do a lot of really good things, including the general maintenance. Now, you might have been up late last night watching, you know, some college basketball, watching the Predators, and you've been putting off the fact that you got a maintenance issue, whether it's at your home or at your business. Lee Company can help you. They're just a phone call away or an online appointment away. LeeCompany.com. You can just let them know what the problem is, schedule a time. They'll come out and fix the issue, whatever it might be. Windows, doors, floors, ceilings, anything. Call Lee Company, 615-567-1000. They'll take care of the problem. You can get back to watching the games and the teams that you love. It's Lee Company, proud sponsor, Nashville Predators.
Back here on the DDC, our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. On our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Ron, going back to the first segment, says, see, guys, this is what Blue Chew will do for the suit. The suit and tie, actually, he called him. We did have some fun with the Blue Chew. C from Franklin said, I thought one caller's prior suggestion was good for the name of the show, Darren, Donick, and Mace. Yeah, I think 3D, though, just going back to that. I mean, you're already in the hall on that. I just think it flows. You know, it's easy, right? It just... Like this every day, Darren, Donnie, Jason, D-Base. It's just like, oh my gosh!
You make
words.
It sound nice though, because you throw it in there
words.
Quick. You throw it in there quick.
Yeah, it's a lot of extra work. You know, just saying. Okay, so let's get to. I do want to talk about what happened in the third period. So you had Sam Bennett give Florida back their lead, 4-3, just over 8 minutes in, and just like the Predators had done all night. And by the way, okay, so let's start with the Sam Bennett play.
Okay.
I did not have a problem with him calling that a good goal because this is the way I look at it. And you tell me how you feel about it. I'm sure Chris Mason had his feelings about it. If you really had secured the puck wouldn't have been in. He wouldn't have been able to poke it in that easily. So he didn't clearly have he may have jumped on it, but he hadn't secured it because it looked like it was pretty easy to poke that in. That's just my two cents. I didn't have an issue with it. What say you?
We agreed. On our broadcast, he reached for the puck with his blocker hand, right? His blocker glove, not his catching glove. So, in other
Correct.
Words, he dropped the stick, reaches out, and tries to smother it. I do think, initially, he got a pretty good piece of the puck as he went down and made contact with the puck. And I think what you would be hoping for in a best case is one of those intent to blow, right? The ref loses sight of it. He starts to blow the whistle. But that's what, Darren, ultimately I think happened. They didn't blow the whistle. And to Bennett's credit, he got there right away and kind of shoveled it through. So I think you definitely say, if he'd have had it for an extra beat, then no doubt about it, then they should have blown the whistle. But it happened quick enough. So, good goal.
Do you think that had they called it a no-go at first and then went back and reviewed it, do you think it would have stood?
Really good question.
Yeah,
really
I think, question. In I fact, do. I'm not even sure that that's reviewable. If they blew the whistle, right?
Oh,
they
you're
blew
right.
the whistle.
Okay,
like, you know, the
right.
old intent to blow.
Oh,
remember our conversation
right.
with
oh,
Terry
yeah,
Frazier?
Right. Good point. Really good point. Yep.
Right. That, I mean, honestly, that's kind of like the Colton Sissons play, unfortunately.
So it's
final.
So it's like, okay, we'll let the touchdown stand, but we'll go back and review it because we know we have the opportunity or we have the ability to go back and change it. That's kind of like not saying it was a goal. We'll call it a goal, but we do have the ability to go back and review it and change it.
Well, on that one, you don't because it's one of those weird ones that it just doesn't fall under the umbrella.
No, no.
The,
well, why, my thing is, why did they go back and look at it? What I'm saying is that
they
it's a goal we
on
call.
Because they didn't call
right.
blow
yeah.
it dead. That's
yeah,
why.
They just went over and talked to the sideline and told
them
why
they called
it.
Really saying
the exact,
right.
Okay. He's right. If you bring up a really good point, but if that were to happen, they blew it dead. So it's not reviewable. Like it
now you could challenge it. For,
Florida
for
would have been mad.
Interference.
They probably
you
would have been.
You could have challenged for goaltender interference, but they didn't see enough. I think what they were doing, honestly, behind the scenes was kind of looking at it to see, do you think Riddick was interfered with at all? You know, did he, rustle around his blocker hand interfere with his ability. And he really didn't. He got underneath there, and he got the puck. You know, so I think they looked at it and said it's not worth challenging.
Okay, so I'm going to go.
You can't challenge the whistle if they had blown the whistle.
Okay.
But they didn't blow the whistle, so the only thing you challenge is goaltender interference. Okay.
So that's what happened 14 seconds later. Florida did challenge goaltender interference after the apparent Luke Cunning goal. And I wanted to hear what you and Mace, what you guys are going to say. I wanted to hear what Pete and Hal were going to say, because my take was I didn't agree with the call. And I'm going to tell you why. And I think maybe this is where Dylan was going with this. Maybe. I'm not sure. I thought, quite honestly, Luke Cunning was there contact made with his stick? Yes.
Yes.
Was the puck right there? Yes. Was Bobrovsky and the whole play going left to right? Yes. So was there lots of momentum that way? Were there a lot of bodies in front? Yes. Do I think Bobrovsky generously fell down? Yes, I do. I don't think Luke Cunning grabbed him, hooked him, and then flipped him on his back, okay? I just don't believe that there was real goaltender interference. Did his stick maybe touch him? Is that the reason Bobrovsky fell into the net? I don't believe so. I believe all his momentum was going to the right. The whole play was going that way. And all these bodies around him, everybody's whacking away. Cunning's stick may have touched him, but oh, by the way, it also may have touched the puck. And I don't agree with the call. And I feel like most people feel the other way, that they're okay with it. I didn't agree with it.
All right. Well, I will tell you that Chris Mason is a goalie. Mm-hmm. So that probably, you know, that's certainly his perspective. We did agree with the call as much as we disliked the end result. I think if you really slow it down and look, I think everything that Luke Cunning does is fine, because the puck is in there. It's sort of in the skates. Bobrovsky is sort of lying back, hoping he's going to cover the puck. It's a scramble. You know, there's a couple of shots. But if you really look, there's a point where I got to be careful how I say this. Luke Cunning, he moves Bobrovsky back. He has his stick in a very sensitive area, Darren, between the legs.
Oh, okay.
Of Bobrovsky.
I didn't see this.
He had it in the inner thigh.
I'm learning.
Inner thigh.
The inner thigh.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good term, D-Mace. Let's go with inner thigh.
So and Sergey was going, stop it!
He pushed him back.
Look!
Does a Mitch Kupchak reference come in here? I don't know. But, he did sort of push him back a little bit before he plays the puck into the net. Yeah, he did.
Really?
Well, if you slow it down, once they slowed it, I'm listening to.
You're in the arena. You got better angles, so I'm not gonna. You know, I'm not gonna argue with that. So.
I'm listening.
If
to
you look
C-Mace
at the overhead shot, you can see it. The overhead shot gives you the look.
I'm listening to C-Mace and Willie, and no one was really committal to yay or nay until they saw like several angles, and that's the advantage disadvantage of replay, because in full in real time you can't see it because it happens so quick,
right?
But if you
right.
slow it up, there was a sort of, now did the nudge, you know,
did you see cause, what Willie's talking about, Derek?
Yeah,
did
I saw the play
that?
Yeah, it
no
seemed
I mean did
like,
you see what he just described?
The inner thigh.
Yeah, yeah. No, I saw that part.
Oh, you did?
On the replay, I saw it when they slowed it up. Yeah. And it was sort of like toward the end, it was a slight nudge. Now, did that push the goalie back enough that he was able to score? You never know, because he was falling back anyway. So that extra nudge, I think, got him to where, you know, they said no goal. But listen, what was it? 20 seconds later, they end up getting the goal back. So
yeah, that I think that's you where know. You really give them credit is they that was a tough at the time. You know, you just answered back and you're really feeling good about it, and then oh, you get the rug pulled out from under you, and yet they still came back and found a way, made a couple plays there. The play by Tanner Janot, the shorthanded goal, was a great finish.
So before we move on though, I just so I can we can shut the book on this. like I said, I'm not going to dispute. You're in the arena. You're getting better. You know, you got monitors. You're going to get better. You got a Jumbotron. You're going to get better views than me, obviously. So you're saying that definitely before when Bobrovsky falls back, you're saying Cunnin's maybe kind of pushing him with his stick in the mid region.
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't. Okay. That obviously changes. Look, like I said, I knew there was contact, yeah. But I mean, Bobrovsky's a big guy. He's not a horse jockey, right? Bobrovsky's
right,
a pretty good size
dude.
Right,
but if you're down on the ice, it doesn't take much to. I think Derek used the right term. Nudge. It nudged him back a couple of inches, and that left the puck exposed. So kind of he nudges him, and then he puts it in. So I see that. I don't think he intentionally did it. You know, he's just battling to try to make a play on the puck, and he's trying to fight position. He's got Gus Forsling right on his back pushing him. That's what I was hoping that they might see, is maybe the momentum of the defenseman pushing Cunnin in there.
But a nudge is going to get Bobrovsky on his back. A nudge? Like, that's where I'm a little, to me, it needs to be more aggressive.
When you take – this is what Mace uses this term some.
Okay.
Pitchfork, right? Okay. Imagine taking a pitchfork.
Yep.
And, you know, I jam it up. You're lying along the ice, and I jam it up underneath you. I'm going to be able to move you pretty easily on the ice, even without a whole lot of contact. Now that's your best argument, Darren, is that
people,
you know,
are
it wasn't a full on pitchfork. It was a nudge. That's Derek's term, but that prevented in the ref's mind. Mm-hmm. The ability for Bobrovsky to play his position. There.
I will just tell you that I felt like his momentum was carrying him that away, and that's the reason. And people are agreeing. Look, and we can all – it doesn't – it's irrelevant, right? It's irrelevant now, and the Predators went on, and they scored three more goals after that and won the game. But people are agreeing with me on the text line that they kind of felt the same way, that it was really him sliding that way and his momentum carrying him that way. I don't know.
That's what I thought at first, and okay. I think that's what Mace thought at first. And then we saw that one move where he got the stick up in between the legs and moved him back a little bit. So,
see, I need to hear Bobrovsky in the press conference, and if he's like, "Look, that's a tough loss," then I'm all in with what you're saying.
Let's just hope that the goalie's equipment was properly in place there.
Properly secure.
Yeah.
All right, we will come back and put a bow on the first hour of the show. Don't forget, we've got those tickets to give away. We are going to give you a Predators question, so you're going to have to answer a trivia. This is a really good prize, so you're going to have to work for it, and it's going to be something from last night's game, so keep that in mind for the final segment here on the DDC. Willie, tell everybody about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's talk Loan Pronto. Of course, the atmosphere continues. There's a great opportunity out there for you with your home value up and the mortgage rates down. Use that combination of things to get your finances in a great place here early in 2022. You can pay off credit cards. You can remodel your house with this cash from your home's equity. Or you can combine it and do it both. Do both of those things. Make your house more valuable, lower your monthly payment, pay off some bills. You can do all of these things through home Loan Pronto. Loan Pronto can convert the home's equity into cash in as little as 2 weeks with no cost to you. They pay those closing costs for you. It's zero hassle. It's all digital now. A lot less paperwork than in the past. And a lot of people are taking full advantage of this. For example, you could take out $50,000. You can take $40,000 of it, and you can pay off bills, whether it's credit card bills, tuition payments, whatever might be piling up on you. Take the rest of the money and put it towards a home improvement project, and upgrade that bathroom or kitchen or whatever is in your house that you want to address. You can lock in a new APR in the twos. You can lower that monthly bill. So what are you waiting on? Call Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780. Or go to loanpronto.com. That's 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval. Not all loans apply.
We'll talk college hoops with Dane Bradshaw coming up at 11:15. At Stephanating on Twitter says, listening to D-Mace talk Preds hockey is the highlight of my day. Woo-hoo! D-Mace!
I got to get myself back immersed into it, you know?
That's right. This is where it's getting fun, man. Exactly. We're about to go into March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie Stanley on Twitter also tweets at us and says, nice of Cunning to test out Bob's equipment there, you know?
The old cup check.
Man, I remember those, you know, when you're in high school, you had to wear those, you know, you had to wear something to protect your inner thigh area. Do hockey players wear that?
Oh, yeah, man. You're taking your life into your own hands.
Ask Bob Bobrovsky. Yes. The answer is yes.
It's a dangerous game.
Yeah.
And football players don't.
Well, you don't want that puck.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Football
you don't want that puck
yeah,
anywhere
we don't.
Near you, okay? Because that
I can
is
see.
Gonna be lights out.
I can see that. But baseball and hockey, you gotta protect yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe in the outfield, D-Mates, if you're playing outfield in baseball – okay, you wanna not do that? That's okay. And all I can think about now is the Bad News Bears when Walter Matthau passes him out and they throw him back at him. Or eventually, they refuse and they throw all the cups back at him. But
think about
if
the
you're
goalie
playing infield. If you're playing
the
catcher,
goalie and the catcher, pitcher, right? The catcher is absolutely got to wear one.
Really, I've seen some pitchers too.
True.
You're pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I should have been wearing one in Kid Pitch. thank goodness
I survived. You weren't wearing one in the Kid Pitch?
No, I never did.
Oh,
no, I didn't.
Mistake on you.
You are lucky, man.
I escaped. Woo. I didn't escape tearing my meniscus, but I escaped getting popped. I can tell you that. I got lucky.
Risky.
We can laugh about it now because it didn't happen.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Okay, here's the question.
Uh-huh.
This is a really interesting trivia question when you think about the Predators franchise history. Do you realize last night what happened was only the second time that's ever happened in franchise history?
The shorthand goal?
And you say, no, that was their first of the year, by the way.
It was.
Pretty amazing.
That came at a good time, yeah.
First time they've ever come back with three game-tying goals and go on and win by two goals.
Hmm.
Okay. Two or more goals.
How about that?
Second time that's happened in franchise history. The last time it happened was in 2005 against this team. Tell Elijah Campbell at our Hillside Medical Games studio on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com who that opponent was where the Predators came back with three game-tying goals and went on to win by two goals in 2005. Who was that opponent? And if you can answer that correctly, you're going to see Train, Jewel, Blues Traveler, and Will Anderson at Ascend Amphitheater on June 21st. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Elijah, give them a little bit of a minute. They're going to have to Google, I'm sure. They'll probably be Googling.
I got to admit, I would have to Google. I'm stumped on that one. I don't
really
remember this game.
Okay.
Yeah. 2005. That was a long time ago.
Yes, it was.
I thought you were going to take another
I was still a young
angle,
pup.
Darren.
Got to make them earn it. I mean, these tickets aren't even on sale yet.
Yeah,
okay?
This is good. Blues
you
Traveler.
Can't even buy
too,
them yet.
I like the Blues Traveler.
I like Jewel.
I like Train.
How about this?
Train.
Yeah. It's a good variety there. How about this stat last night? Did you see Colton Sisson's final stats, Darren?
No, so that's where I was going. Jeez, get out of my head.
Okay.
That's exactly where I was going. So I did want to – because I don't know the answer to this one. Okay, and you probably
we looked it up.
I don't know if you guys. So you did. Okay, so I said on
post game we had some tidbits on this.
Okay, so I was going through some number. Well, I'm doing.
I know you, but on the screen, if you had eyed the screen at the right time, I get it.
Dude, I'm doing it by myself. I'm sorry, I'm not eyeing the screen when I'm doing it by myself.
Your trusty producer could have passed along. But of course they're doing multitasks.
Hey, Jared Cassidy is learning on the fly. He's doing a great job, but I'm not going to task him. You know,
it's tough.
he's getting a lot of seat time right now. But
yeah, it's a lot going on.
I said on post game, I have no idea the last time. Like, I don't remember a player going 16-0, 100%, 16 faceoffs, winning all 16. I don't think I've ever seen that. I don't think. And I was like, when was the last time that happened? Because I said, you know, you see a player, you know, take seven draws and they win all seven. Like, okay. But 16, I said, I can't remember the last time, or if I've ever seen that. I would love to know the last Predator to do that, or the last time that happened in the National Hockey League. So do you have any answers for me?
I'm here to help you. Okay. I'm here to help you. We looked up both.
By the way, we got an answer on the first call.
Did really?
Wow.
First call. Got it right.
Okay, well, so tell me the game in 2005 real quick, and then I'll give you the answer on the face-off thing.
Well, it's appropriate timing because it is the next opponent for the Predators, the Dallas Stars.
Back in 2005.
November 10th, 2005, the Preds won 5-3.
5-3. Boy, I got to go back and look up that game. I don't remember it. As far as the face-offs, the funny line was Ryan Johansson told Nick Barnowski after the game. He was standing there. Ryan Johansson takes his fair share of face-offs, and he told Colton Sisson, he goes, man, you need to take that score sheet and frame it at 16-0. So the Predators had never had that happen before. The closest was Paul Gostad, who, interestingly enough, was kind of a, you know, a mentor to Colton Sisson as he came up into the league. 2015, Paul Gostad was a good face-off guy. He went 13-0 in a game. But nobody had gone 16-0 since 2017, Patrice Bergeron from Boston went 16-0.
In 2017 was the last time it happened in the league, okay?
Yep.
And what did you say was the last time a Predator did that?
Nobody's ever done 16-0 as a Predator. That's a franchise record. Gostad went 13-0.
13-0 is the best. Goose. Yeah.
So, yep. So Sissons is the new record holder, 16-0.
Well, there you go.
That's going to be hard to beat.
I wish you would have called in last night. You know, I'm saying this stuff out loud on the air. Like, man, I wish I knew the answer because I don't know. I don't know the last. I was like, I don't know if a Predator's ever done that. I could have, you know, used your help last night. So you guys had that on your post-game show?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was
nice
our
work.
Geico stat of the day, or Geico stat made easy, as we call it.
Very nice. Mm.
Good job,
congratulations, Willie. Aaron Research. Brown. Aaron, wow. I did not
that
think we would get
impressive.
The first call.
Impressive.
Yeah. First call, Aaron nailed it. Dallas. I don't know what he told Elijah, but he told him Dallas Stars.
I don't remember that one. There's been a lot of games between then and now.
Yeah.
Good grief.
Yep, there have been a lot of games. That was 17 years ago. So, but Aaron, you go enjoy that show at Ascend Amphitheater, and thanks for listening. We'll come back. Hour number two next.